Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the Broth Lady, or the inventor of the hashtag More Vegetables Than a Vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, and the upcoming Real Life Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size, and self-love, and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm the New York Times best-selling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up and you get to listen to our gossip. So welcome to the Paleo View, everybody. Although it's a little bit awkward this week, we also have super awesome my husband, Matthew McCary, who loves this podcast more than anyone, including Sarah and I probably, joining us this week. And I'm super, super excited that you agreed to do this. The reason that Matt's on the line is because Sarah and I are both in her home in Atlanta, Georgia. And Matt texted me frantically earlier this week saying that we needed to figure out a way to make sure that we still podcasted because we have an unbroken streak of consistent podcasts for something like 116 episodes. So this, what's 117, Matt?
This will be 117.
Wow.
You should tell everybody the joke or the moment of excitement that you had earlier when we surpassed 112.
Okay, so the record for most consecutive issues done by a creative team at Marvel Comics was set by Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Bagley on Ultimate Spider-Man at 111 issues. And so, like, I can say that I did something more than Brian Michael Bendis did, and I think that's pretty exciting.
And you're also a big nerd, so that's cool too.
Yes, definitely.
You know what's fascinating, Matthew? Sarah's children do not know about superheroes.
It's a problem.
They know about superheroes.
No. They played outside for like 2 hours earlier today. Like I sat outside and on the phone and, you know, watched them play. And they like nicely and quietly played together, dancing and singing. Not poking each other with sticks, not rolling around in the dirt, not with action heroes in hand, happily for hours. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
So meanwhile, I thought that our children were playing together so nicely because they all picked up sticks and fought bad guys together.
Exactly.
Yeah. My kids don't always play that nicely. They were having a good day.
They were putting on a show for me. They were singing and dancing.
That is one of their favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Captive adult audience is like their idea of heaven.
Yeah. It was pretty epic when the little one kept coming over in the middle of the performance to make sure that I was paying attention and would like give me a hug and a kiss. Like, you're watching, right?
she's very huggy and kissy. I can't imagine where she gets that from.
No, I have no idea. I'm glad you're not kissy.
I'm not kissy. Yeah.
Huggy, yes.
Huggy, yes. So maybe she'll grow out of the kissy part.
So speaking of hugs, we've been giving a lot of those lately.
Yes, yes. Mostly to other people, not each other. So if anyone's listening and has been living on Mars for the last couple of weeks, or maybe new listeners, there could be like
maybe.
New listeners this week.
Yeah, maybe.
We've been on book tour. You guys for like 5 days before I joined, right?
I think
I came in for the sixth.
I think so.
The sixth city. And then we got to do a fun cooking demo, all three of us together in New York City.
It was quite epic.
It was
pretty awesome.
New York City.
Yeah. That was exciting for you.
It was. It looks just like it does in the TV shows and movies that feature it, oddly. With also the same stereotypical cab drivers in my experience of being there for one day.
Yeah.
And then Matt went home to look after the boys because the boys needed daddy.
They did. They were ready. Everybody was stretched at their limits, and it was good timing for him to go home, although I'm missing him terribly.
And then we've continued on. We went to Chicago, and then we were supposed to go to Minneapolis.
Yeah, we're supposed to be in Minneapolis today. Matt's thrilled that we're not so that we can podcast, but I was quite disappointed because Monica, who we talk about and has been on before, lives in Minneapolis, and Jen Sinkler, who we had on Strong Woman Radio, who I'm a huge fan of, is in Minneapolis, and Vanessa Romero, who I'm also friends with from Healthy Living 2.
I think she's been on the podcast too, very early.
And we met her on the Low Carb Cruise, and won a amazing race kind of thing with her. But nevertheless, she's also in Minneapolis, and we were excited to spend time with all of those awesome ladies. And unfortunately, the polar plunge of 2014, the early storm of the year that no one was quite expecting, I think they're anticipating about 12 inches worth of dangerous snow, not just powdery, nice, pretty snow, but sleet,
snow, ice,
danger, came into Minneapolis. And we had the foresight to cancel a day beforehand, fortunately being able to get a flight out of Chicago in time. Had we waited, this morning there were all flights into Minneapolis were canceled, and we probably would have been stuck in Chicago and possibly missed Atlanta and some later stops. So we decided when we heard about the storm that we would, it just the anticipation and the timing of the volume of snow that they were anticipating was not good for us. So we went ahead and, decided that we would reschedule the Minneapolis event because there are people that we really want to see there. We had really good,
huge numbers.
Yeah,
of
really good RSVPs.
Planning on coming to the bookstore. The bookstore was really
super accommodating. So we decided we wanted to just reschedule that for the next opportunity that we have. And, so hopefully, we will be announcing that very shortly. We are working on, so you can tentatively pencil in the weekend of January 3rd and 4th for Minneapolis and possibly another city or two. So we'll let you know about that. But, of course, that's dependent on the bookstore availability and all that kind of stuff. So, but we do promise that at some point we will go back to Minneapolis.
And I mean, a high priority for the near future.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that you guys just didn't like rent a van or something and drive the 6.5 hours in the snow if your flight was canceled.
I do know how to drive in snow. This has been one of the things for us, because I think there's a lot of people who was commenting on our fear of snow without actually being aware of what the forecast was actually saying. And, I think it's important for people to know that it's not snow itself so much as, you know, states of emergency and 12 inches of snow and ice with high winds and drifting snow and poor visibility and all flights canceled.
And that's the thing, is even if we wanted to get into Minneapolis today, we wouldn't have been able to. And then it would have been too late because everybody who was supposed to go to Minneapolis was taking all the other flights. So because we, you know, planned ahead, we were able to continue to see the other cities, because our biggest concern was that we would go to Minneapolis and
potentially get stuck there.
And it's not like, you know, the same people who are going to come out to the tour would do that if there was a huge snowstorm. Quite a few people responded that they were glad that we rescheduled because they wouldn't be coming out in the snowstorm anyway. So by doing this, we've made sure that everybody stays safely at home and that the rest of the tour doesn't have to get canceled or postponed. But,
So by the time this goes live, we will be flying
in San Diego.
We'll be probably for subscribers, they'll probably hear us right around the time we're in San Diego, maybe just getting ready for our San Diego event, which is going to be at 6 p.m. at Dr. Lowe's clinic. I don't know
I think it's Sunshine Clinic, but you can On the events page, Monica will put a link in the show notes, but you can get to it from either of our sidebars on the blog. We have the exact address and information. We're super excited to work with Dr. Lowe on the San Diego location. It's not a bookstore, but we will be selling books there. But it's a great resource, especially for people with chronic health conditions looking for additional support. And Dr. Lowe will be there and can, you know,
answer questions
and contribute to the event. So that's, and we have quite a few additional bloggers coming to that event. Yeah. We've got Kelly from Spunky Coconut. We've got Stephanie from Stupid Easy Paleo. We've got Pete and Sarah from Pete's Paleo. And Dr. Lowe will be there. And we've got Jenny from Paleo Foodie Kitchen, something like that. Sorry, Jenny, I can't remember. But Monica will put a link in the show notes. So come to that event and you'll get a ton of people that you can hang out with and ask questions to, and all that kind of stuff. And then after San Diego is our epic signing in Portland,
Oregon.
We're expecting a lot of people at that event. So make sure that you come early to get a chair. I mean, I'm sure we'll have chairs, yeah. But no guarantees there, I guess.
Well, if anybody needs a chair, yes, and who comes later and doesn't have a chair,
we will
figure out ways to accommodate people, even if it involves playing musical chairs.
And I will do my very, very, very best to keep Sarah from clogging the line and keep her moving along. Because otherwise it's going to be a 6-hour event.
And I don't see a problem with this. I will do my best to connect with people and answer their questions in as succinct a way as possible as to keep the line moving.
And then after Portland, Sarah will be going home, but Mickey Trescott, who will be joining us for the Portland event, will also be joining us for the Seattle event and graciously offered to give me a ride to Seattle. So that's kind of exciting. I'll get to tour the West Coast a little bit by car instead of by plane.
It's really pretty.
Yeah,
I'm excited. It's a lovely, lovely drive.
I'm super excited. And I'll be going to Shauna, the gluten-free girl's test kitchen, and she's making us brunch, which is super exciting. Yeah. And
clearly then, I'm going home a day too early.
I don't know why you're going home without Seattle.
Because it's my birthday.
I would rethink it. It's a good birthday gift. What's happening
in
Seattle?
And it's my daughter's birthday.
I mean, excuses. And then after that brunch, which is not for everybody, but just for Mickey and Shauna and I, which is super exciting, I will then be headed to a Seattle book signing in the late afternoon, I believe. And then that's Saturday, and that's the last stop on this leg of the Paleo View tour. Then we have, Matt and I, and in some cities, the kids as well, have an event the following weekend, where we will be doing quite a few cities in our local area for driving distance. So we're doing Charlottesville, Richmond, Hampton Roads, Baltimore, and Philadelphia. So make sure if you're in any of those cities, you check out the events page for those exact dates and locations. And then again, we will be back in January. The stores don't do signings in December just because it's, you know, crowded and busy from holiday sales. So the soonest that we could rebook Minneapolis was early January.
Yeah, we're still not 100% sure that those dates are actually going to be doable.
We're working on making that happen, but we can't give any promises. So we said this would be it for us, but I guess I lied. I can't see much more after
early January. It's because we're having so much fun. You want to do more.
Honestly, I am. It has been absolutely incredibly amazing to meet the individuals that we're meeting at these signings and hear the success stories of people who have implemented the paleo approach or just paleo in general into their lives and the healing that they've had and just the amazing transformations and, you know, hearing the stories of how they've influenced other people in their own lives and how, you know, they're just paleoing it forward. And that is how literally the world is changing. And, you know, being able to reach out and hug someone or hear about how this sort of thing has changed their life gives us, me and Matt, at least, I won't speak for you, Sarah, but probably the motivation to keep going, because sometimes it can be really overwhelming to, you know what's kind of ahead of you or what the requirements are. And with something like a blog, like, it never turns off. You don't get a vacation day. Yeah. It's just, it always, you know,
don't get, I mean, it's not even a vacation day. You don't get a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I work Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not the whole day the way it is many other days, but there's always still checking in because it just doesn't go away.
And so things like this really kind of remind us about what we really are doing it for and why. And it's not that we forget that regularly, but sometimes it's hard, even when we get emails of someone that says, you know, I'm really impacted and influenced by you, or you're an inspiration, or, you know, thank you so much for this recipe because now my child will eat, you know, X, Y, or Z food. It's absolutely amazing to hear that stuff. But sometimes it gets lost in the, you know, amount of complaint emails that we get, or the complaint social media comments that we get. And, you know, hearing and seeing such passionate people be so excited and enthused about the movement and the books and meeting us, it's wonderful. And there's no, you know, you don't want that to stop, because it just is such wonderful motivation. So I know, Matt, that's kind of actually why you wanted to be on the podcast. So I think it would be fascinating for people to hear your perspective on how that leg of the tour was for you, because you don't often get to do these sort of things. I'm, you know, often the face of the blog, just because you're usually the one that takes care of the boys when I have to go someplace, or, you know, you're not a huge fan of social situations to begin with. So it just works out that way. But it was wonderful to hear that you had a good experience, even though I kind of dragged you along for that first leg of the trip.
Well, I wasn't going to let you what's the word? Gallivant around the country alone.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it would be a little, you know, intimidating to fly into those cities by yourself and try to figure it all out. So I'm glad to have at least supported you to begin with. But it was really cool to see you kind of in action, because, I mean, I don't often, in fact, I don't know that I ever get to hear you speak, even when you are at events that I'm at too. Usually I'm doing something else instead of, you know, watching you. So, I got to see you talk to people, and you are quite the public speaker, and I was really impressed.
Yeah, you're pretty dynamic. I mean, I think I said this last week on the podcast that I'd never heard you speak when I heard you speak at the Take Back Your Health conference. I'm just saying, like,
you're trying to make eye contact.
I am. I'm making eye contact with
you. She like physically moved her body to make eye contact.
And not only
with me,
am I making eye contact with you, I'm giving you a compliment at the same time. Like,
God.
I don't think I could make you feel more awkward.
It's the worst for me. Oh, God. Thank you.
Do you want me? I have to like stop. But you know, you're awesome, and I feel like, I don't know, I kind of felt like we were all a good team. Like,
yes.
I mean, I felt like all three of us.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've got sort of a similar message, but we help fill in each other's blanks.
Yeah.
And I think that we end up sort of being able to complement each other, and like listening to someone answer a question. Like, if I listen to you answer a question, mm-hmm. it'll make me have an idea. If I'm answering a question, you'll have an idea, or Matt will have an idea. And it kind of gives people an even broader perspective and an even more useful answer to kind of have, you know, these three brains sort of all working towards the same goal. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to make eye contact with you, and you're still feeling really awkward.
Yep, I am. I agree. And I feel like, you know, it's extra value for people, obviously, to meet more than one person. But like you said, and what we've been saying in meeting with everybody is that, you know, our books and our general approach to paleo is both very similar as well as dynamically different, and they complement each other very well. So, you know, in most cases, all of our books, you know, apply to someone's life, or at least someone they know's life, you know, and it might be a family who wants to get started and eat like a dinosaur and really paleo really works for them. And then they kind of move into, you know, I want more quality meats and I want more lifestyle stuff and I want to change, I want to work on tweaking my health. And that's where, you know, Beyond Bacon and the Paleo Approach, the Paleo Approach cookbook come in. I think it's fascinating to kind of hear from people how that transition happens and where they fall in the spectrum. And
or for some people, it's they need to do something like the paleo approach for themselves, but they want to figure out how to also make that work for their family. Yeah. And they're trying to find like that middle ground. And that's where like real life paleo is really for them, helping their family get on board or helping their spouse figure out how to support them. And they're, meanwhile, I mean, and that's what we do in my house, right? Yeah. I have a more restricted diet than the rest of my family. And I have to be more careful about what I eat. And
so it's sort of a
neat, you know, we were creating a library of complementary resources.
Well, and I think that's what makes us such a good team. I mean, and it's interesting how a lot of the people that we meet are listeners of the podcast and how mm-hmm. very connected they are. And I think that's a wonderful mechanism that I didn't realize what we were doing when we set out to do it. I mean, I had no idea how much of like an impact and a connection we would have with people because of the podcast.
I honestly never really occurred to me that people would listen to us.
So sometimes Matt gives us the download stats and Sarah and I are like what?
Apparently a city listens to us. That's just crazy. And so then, you know, and I heard it from a number, I mean, I've just done two events so far on this tour, and I heard from a number of people at both events that they always say the same thing, like, I feel like I know you, I feel like you're my friends, you're my girlfriends, and I know you don't know me, but I just want you to know that I feel so connected with you, and I just feel like you're my girlfriends, and we just chat all the time. And I've heard more than one person say that they talk back to our podcast when they're listening, which I think is awesome. So if you want to talk back to us, that's totally fine. My mom says she talks back to us when she's listening.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that people should also know that a large part of us being available on the podcast is Matt. Like,
yeah.
Because when you and I have been exhausted and doing books and we're just like, I do not want
to
do this.
Matt comes up with comic book statistics telling us why we can't stop.
Exactly. there have been numerous times where Sarah and I have been like, let's just push it. And Matt's like, no, just do a check-in show. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. So, you know, one of the things that we hear from people is that they love the consistency of the show.
Yeah.
And we kind of feel badly when we provide a show like this, where we're like, we don't have time to prepare content and answer questions and come up with Science with Sarah. But at the same time, we're happy that the consistency is what most people are really interested in. And then
people, oddly, again, who knew, actually like to hear us like
I don't know
banter
why.
And make each other feel awkward in person with the eye contact.
So, okay, let's talk about the kind of gifts that we've gotten on this tour.
Holy moly.
I am blown away. Thank you so much to every single person that's brought us
all
the amazing things that they brought us. Like, blown away.
Yeah.
Someone even brought a wrapped present for our children.
Yeah.
Like, your girls got something and my boys got something separately. As well as, you know, multiple broths, multiple...
Because
that's what I said I wanted was broth. And so I've gotten
snack
three
foods,
different...
meals.
Yes, whole meals, snacks, you got a selfie pole?
I got a selfie pole. So shout out to Bacon Mom for giving me a selfie pole because I guess, so I have discovered how much fun it is to take a selfie with the crowd of people who show up to my events behind me. It's just a fun memory. It's a fun picture. It makes everybody laugh because I'm being a dork. and then I've got this great memory. Like for me, it's part of sort of, you know, having this keepsake of the event. You know, everyone else gets signed books and I get a selfie with the crowd. And so, but one of the difficulties with this is it's, you know, really hard to capture an entire crowd behind you and then not have your head like take up the whole picture.
Right. The one time we did it well in Philadelphia, we had to stand on a chair and do it in order to like get an accurate.
I have a really good photo of myself, a selfie of myself from my event in Austin where I did the same trick, stand on a chair and then get the 80 people behind me.
So now you don't have to awkwardly stand on a chair with boots and a dress on.
I just have to look like the kind of dork who has a selfie pole.
Well, we all know you're a dork.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. But yeah, shout out to Emma, Bacon Mom. She's a blogger, so you guys can go check her out too. I think that was a really, it was a really thoughtful gift. Like, yeah. I think it was like a yes. really cool thing and well, also really thoughtful.
That's the thing that's kind of been blowing me away is not just like, oh, you brought me like this thing that promotes yourself, which sometimes we get, you know, like, you know, here's this thing with my logo on it. Okay, great, fine, whatever. But it's the thoughtful things mm-hmm. that are like, people are like, you've done so much for me. I want to do something for you. And first of all, you're doing something for us by being there, especially yeah. if you bought our books. Like, we can't thank you enough. That's how we support this endeavor to do that. But, you know, to show such thoughtfulness is like, Sarah and I both said handwritten notes are our favorite. Like, yeah. above all else, I mean, we both have gotten some notes that were tearjerkers and just, you know, it that's the kind of thing that when you're having a really tough day, you can pull out that note again and remind mm-hmm. yourself while you're kind of, you know, doing the different things. But, you know, the thoughtful gifts of someone brought me my favorite chocolate bar. Like, they followed yeah. me close enough on Instagram to know what my favorite chocolate bar was, and they brought one. And that's the kind of stuff that's just like, thank you. Like, that's just mm-hmm. unbelievable and so thoughtful. And it's honestly, they're better people than I am, because I never did anything like that for anybody. So
I think that the really interesting thing is like when you said it on the podcast last week, I was like, oh, no one's going to get you a gift. Like, this is just a gag that you're pulling. Like, yeah. And people really ran with it. Like, they took you up on your offer.
Well, it was, I mean, we got, every person who brought us food was like, I listened to your podcast and heard that you guys would like, well, you know, like.
Yeah. Like, Graysten Enthused, right, brought us, not only did she bring us my juicy pot roast recipe, which is AIP yeah. and has broth and has vegetables and was a perfect breakfast.
In microwavable containers ready for us to yes. heat up this morning for breakfast.
Amazing. It was the perfect breakfast. But then additionally, she made gelatin, because she was like, I know you were talking about needing gelatin. So here's two forms of gelatin for you. I'm like, yeah. it's just it that the time that it took her to make multiple recipes just to bring to us. Yes.
Well, and pot roast is not, I mean, it's a fairly time consuming yeah. recipe. Yeah. Like, and yep. she was allergic to a component of the recipe yeah. herself. So they made enough omitting the onions yeah. for her and herself. Her husband.
Yeah.
And then she
then made it special for us.
Caramelized onions and added it to the dish for us just so that we could have it with onions.
And it was amazing, by the way. Those caramelized onions, Matt, we're getting an Instapot. Like, I cannot believe how much additional flavor can be gotten from an Instapot versus a regular Crock-Pot. So that's happening for
us. As a person who is already on my second Instapot because I wore out the first one, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. So
you can also use them as yogurt makers. They work as rice makers.
No endorsements.
I love Instapot, and they didn't even pay me to say that. So there you go.
So what we're going to do is send them a link to the show and tell them that we need one.
Right. That's, you should. And then tell them I need.
That you need an extra. I don't
actually need an emergency backup.
As I mentioned, I'm already on my second one because I was such an abusive user of the first one.
I don't know if they want you to say that, though.
No.
that you can actually wear them out.
But, to be fair, it was really me being, the way that it was being stored in between being used was not a considerate way to store any kitchen appliance. And I ended up destroying the power cord through kinks and destroyness.
Did you learn your lesson?
Yes, I did. And I treat my new one with care. It has a place on a shelf in my kitchen.
Well,
Two shelves below my copy of Real Life.
From what I hear, this might just need to sit out on the counter for us, because
yeah.
it's going to make broth super easy and quick and not tie up the stove. So I'm excited to give that
a try. What I love about it is that you can take something like short ribs or oxtail, like frozen, and throw it in there, and then it's still amazing. Like, it's just still amazing. And it sears. And then the insert is made with stainless steel.
Are you recording an infomercial right now?
Okay. okay. It's probably my favorite kitchen tool.
That's great. So what I'm saying is we're going to get one because this juicy pot roast, which is a recipe from Really Paleo, was super delicious. So I'm looking forward to it.
I will stop raving about my kitchen.
So, Nat, what was your takeaway from the cities before Sarah joined us? I mean, we've talked about New York and Chicago a little bit and that kind of stuff. But so we started the tour at Bethesda, Maryland. I think you should talk a little bit about Cole. I mean, one of my favorite moments of the tour.
Yeah. So first of all, the Barnes & Noble in Bethesda, Maryland is one of the greatest stores in this galaxy. Personally, like, that was always the store. I used to work at Barnes & Noble, and that was always the store that people held up and said, you know, this is the store. This is the way where it all goes down. It's, you know, so awesome and three floors and everything like that. And it really was a cool place to be. And we got to take over the whole bottom floor, and we filled up all the chairs, and people were standing there. And Stacy was giving her talk, and we started answering questions, and all of a sudden, between us, up pops Cole, and he just starts answering questions for people. and it could possibly be because he was just bored, but, like, he doesn't talk to people.
He's so quiet.
He is quiet. The last trip, like, when I visited you guys last weekend, I think he said, like, six words to me the whole weekend.
So imagine our surprise when we're standing up there, like, talking about our health history and our journey, which is, like, how I start the talk. It's, like, beginning of the talk, and Matt and I are standing apart between a table, and Cole literally comes up from, like, under the table, or I have no idea where he came from, and just, like, pops in between us and says, "Let me tell you my story," and just starts, like, talking about how wonderful paleo has been for the family and how, like, he is empowered and the choices he makes. And I just kind of, Matt and I looked at each other, our jaws agape, and we're like, all right, well, let's roll with it and hope he doesn't say something. I mean, who knows what, you know, you're letting your kids speak in public.
And by the way, I really like grilled cheese sandwiches.
Exactly. And we have gluten donuts every other day. No, we don't.
And actually, everything that mommy says is not true.
It's like the one time he was on the podcast and he was like, yeah, mommy drinks all the broth and she never saves any for us. It's true, but not very nice. Yeah. So that was super cool. And then we had some paleo treats from Out of the Box Bakery that we handed out. And we had...
I think that was really cool for me because, like a professional, like, company made stuff that I put in the cookbook.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Those marshmallows disappeared super fast.
Oh, you gave up marshmallows?
Yeah, she did marshmallows, Samoa brownies. They're basically are the best brownies from Beyond Bacon, and then we added toasted coconut and caramel to it, so it's like Samoa flavor. It's really good. And then she also made pecan pralines, which were available to purchase on her website for people to actually get delivered. That is no longer available.
That's not fair.
Yeah. I mean, you could still do it today, but people listening to the podcast.
I think we sent you a book.
Yeah. You can make yourself too. Those pre-canned pralines would actually be a really good holiday gift. Like, you could put them out in a candy bowl for the holidays, or you could give them to people as a gift. So we decided we would partner with her, and she offered them, like, way more affordably than I thought she could even make them for, to send that people could purchase on the website and then have them sent. So she made those three things, and Cole picked up the tray and was, like, handing it out to people. It was so adorable how involved he decided he was going to be. And it kind of made me appreciate how important this is to the family because, we talk about how it helped our family, but then also the kids have had an intervention with us about, it's too much time away from the family and they want us to kind of pull back a little bit. And that's why we're not going to write any more books. So sometimes I'm kind of torn between, well, paleo helped our family and I want to help other families experience that, but it shouldn't be at the detriment to my own family. So it was kind of a really nice moment for me to see him be excited and appreciative of, you know, it showed me that he understood what it was all about, like why we were doing it and not just hey, why don't you hang out with us on the weekends?
Yes.
So that was super cool for me.
Totally.
Then we went to Columbus and we ate Jenny's ice cream.
Jenny's ice cream. Yep.
That was the highlight. Oh, no.
No, it wasn't. No.
I'm kidding. So we hung out with our friend Patty, who's a good friend and we haven't seen in a long time, and met, that was kind of the first stop on the tour that was, you know, a plane ride. And we weren't quite sure how everything was going to go, and it went really smoothly and nicely, and we had a great turnout, and there were people that had driven 3 hours on a weeknight to come to that event with their family. Two families with little kids came. One drove 2.5 hours, another drove 3 hours on a weeknight to come to the event.
That's dedication.
Unbelievable.
That's really intense.
Yeah, and one of the families had a little girl who I think was Cole's age.
Maybe a little bit older.
Yeah, I mean, she was into it. Like, she was asking questions, and she was excited. So it was a great way to kick off the tour. And we started handing out cricket bars. That was the first kind of event where we handed out XO cricket bars to people. And I loved some of the reactions of people when they tried the cricket bars for the first time, because they'd be like, crickets? And then they'd eat it, and they'd be like, really? Crickets? It was like, you know, this great shift. And so... before I forget, XO is offering everybody 10% off of, I think through their website, XO Protein, 10% off with the code BOOKTOUR. So we've been trying to show people that cricket protein powder is not something to be scared of, and handing those out at the tour. But if you miss that opportunity and would like to give it a try, you can do so at a discount.
Or if you live in a city we're not making it to, or if you live in Minneapolis.
Yeah, so use code BOOKTOUR and you can get 10% off. Monica will put the details and the link to that in the show notes.
You know, it occurs to me that there's currently a bookstore in Minneapolis that has a case of cricket bars.
That's true.
Well, they should last till January.
No, totally. I thought the interesting thing about the cricket bars is that I would think that people would be more trepidatious about trying them, but like. I don't recall anybody who was like out and out refused to eat it.
No. I think people were kind of excited by the opportunity. Like, oh, I wanted to try this, but I've been a little scared.
Yeah, not, you know, like it's completely different. The psychology is completely different when it's free.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
And other people around you are doing it, you know?
Yeah. And then if I don't like it, right, I didn't pay my own money for it. Yeah. But kind of neat to see, I mean, really uniformly.
Everybody likes them.
The bars. Yeah. You're like, wait a minute. Bugs are good, and I've been trying to tell them this for like months and months and months. Crickets are yummy. Where did you guys go after Columbus?
We went to Tampa.
Yeah.
It was like almost snowing in Columbus, and then we went to Tampa where it was warm. And a fascinating difference in culture in Tampa as well. Like, people were like notoriously late in Tampa, and so kind of we started out the event and there's like three people and just people kept like coming and coming and coming as the event went on. I think someone came 2 hours after it started. Like, that's just how Tampa rolls.
Sounds like my kind of town.
Exactly. And then we went to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, which was really great. Matt and I enjoyed that. We had a little more time in that city, and so we were able to have two meals, which was super nice.
It was shocking.
When we met up with Sarah in North Carolina, she's like, okay, tell me really, what about this tour? What do I need to know? And I was like, just get used to the idea of one meal a day. And no sleep.
We did better last night.
Yeah, we did. And then
New York.
What'd you say? And then we did, and then New York, where you met up with us. Yeah.
So we did, that was my first, I've done cooking demos before, but not like as part of a book signing.
Yeah, that was a lot because you made two dishes, we made two dishes.
Yeah, it was actually too much, on hindsight.
Yeah, it was, and we weren't quite sure about the space. I think we both anticipated that there would be seats.
I anticipated a lot more space. Yeah. It was pretty cramped.
The people who came out were just unbelievably patient and understanding and with us as we work out those details.
And it was, I mean, we had such a huge crowd.
Yeah.
So it was...
There were some people that were like down the aisles in the back of the store.
Like peeking out over shelves in order to see what we were doing.
Yeah. So, and then when we did the lineup for the signing, which was like 2 hours after, because the whole cooking demo we had purposely chosen a cooking demo that would take 2 hours, not realizing that there wouldn't be seats and the space was tight.
Yeah.
And then we did the signing after that, which took an additional hour. So people basically were standing waiting for us for 3 hours. And, you know, I just can't thank those people enough. And also we're really sorry that we didn't understand the situation a little better and we would have planned differently. But that was where we first kind of got a lot of gifts. Like I got some little gifts before that, but New York is where like people just started like handing us, oh my gosh, the teenager who had the incredible health transformation.
Yeah, Gabriella.
Gabriella, who brought us sweet potato flour pumpkin pie, which was
so
good.
The crust was sweet potato flour.
With lard.
Yeah.
High five, Gabriella. And then you just met some fans that we'd seen before in Philadelphia had come down to New York.
Yeah. So the one fan, Sarah, was the one who brought us her homemade lamb broth and apples from... that she had picked. I don't know if it was like from her tree or she'd gone
from
apple
afar
picking,
the day before.
She just talked about picking five bushels of apples.
Yeah. And then the other woman that you met in Philadelphia before came again as well. The one who
brought the kids the gifts. And hey, look, I remembered names. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yes. Good job, Sarah. I wouldn't.
At least I'm pretending to remember. I'm saying it as though it's absolutely their names. Yeah.
And then we had a great dinner. Unfortunately, Matt left, and when he left, he accidentally took my winter jacket with him.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of interesting.
You forgot the special guest that we had in New York.
Yes,
Stephanie
Roper from Paleo for Women, who we are huge fans of, and I'd like to think that we make an excellent trio.
And by huge fans, we really mean that we both have girl crushes on Stephanie.
But I think a lot of people resonate with the idea that the three of us have about body positivity and focusing on health and that sort of thing. So that was nice for people to kind of have all three of us available. And Stephanie was such a good sport. She's not a chef. So she just was like, what can I do to help? You know, and working with us and managing the crowd and keeping them entertained. So, and then we went out to dinner with Stephanie after Matt left with my winter jacket. And we had dinner with a few other bloggers who had come at Who Kitchen. Kind of a unique experience to go to a restaurant that is completely grain-free. Unfortunately, there were a lot of nightshades.
Yeah, we had pretty limited choices.
Yeah, it made it a little challenging for us. But there was something.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
But the other bloggers that didn't have an issue with nightshades had incredible options, and I was really super jealous of some of the things they were eating.
What was the bowl
of like ground beef with root mash?
That looked so good.
I was like, can you please tell me?
And they were
no
both like eating it like it was the best thing they'd ever eaten.
I think they licked the bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting that root mash because it was okay, but just the meat, I just had to get
like
a different protein.
Taco meat or chili type thing on top. Yeah, it looked so good.
Yeah. And then we went to the Empire State Building and you did the touristy thing.
Yeah, well, we were basically walking up to the street that would be a better street to get a taxi. And Stacy like points to this beautiful building in front of us.
Which I was pretty sure what it was, but didn't want to seem like a jerk.
Right. And so like, what's that building? Yeah. You're like, I thought so.
What was it? Was it, hey, that's an interesting building over there.
Hey, I'm pretty sure that architectural lit Eiffel Tower type building over there.
is that special? So the answer from the New Yorker we were with was that's the Empire State Building.
Yes.
And then I just turned to Stacey. I was like, do you want to go up it?
And at that point, by the way,
I'm talking about like early
going to bed.
We were exhausted.
I was exhausted.
We were going to go straight back to the hotel and just go to sleep. And Stacey very nicely squashed all that deep inside.
Well, you were like, do you want to walk there? And I was like, we're taking a cab.
Well, it also was
like 14 blocks, which in New York,
I think
is
it was more
long
than that. It was going to be like 20 something.
And
blocks.
I didn't have a jacket. That was part of the problem.
And it was cold and we were both wearing, I had changed into comfortable shoes at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your bag also, your purse weighs like 50 pounds.
I'm giving away magnets. Not the best choice I ever made. I mean,
they're
useful because there's tarot guides in real life paleo. And I know that when I get things like that, I want to put it in my fridge to remind myself what to eat, what not to eat, shopping lists, that kind of stuff is very helpful to have on your fridge. And so I was like, wouldn't it be smart to have a magnet to go with the tarot guides? I did not occur to me at the time how very heavy they would be and how much TSA would hate them.
TSA does not like them, and nor did the security at the Empire State Building.
Oh my gosh. The security at the Empire State Building was not pleased with me at all.
No, they actually held on to the magnets.
They would not let them go through.
They kept them nice. You had a lighter purse while you were at the top.
I did. TSA at least is like, what is this? They take it out of the bag. They look at it. They make me lick it. And then they're like, okay, you can go ahead.
I am really shocked that security people don't particularly care for large blocks of metal going into secure areas.
So Stacy was really gracious and was like, you know, would that make you happy? And I was really excited to be in New York for the first time, and
I didn't want you to leave New York having done nothing but a cooking demo.
Cooking demo signing was because we were also on our feet for that period of time. It was a particularly draining signing. And I mean, I generally find that I feel really like low energy when I feel great during the signing. And then as soon as it's over, I'm like, oh wait, I'm really tired. And so it was kind of a neat, like, sure, Sarah, I'll entertain you and take you to the Empire State Building.
Well, and I had never been. I mean, I've been to New York more times than I can count. I enjoy visiting to New York because it's the local, like, big city to me. I mean, obviously, D.C. is the closest, but I've been to New York because I was in this area for college and that sort of thing a number of times. And so, but it's one of the few touristy things that I've never done, mostly because it costs money to do it, and... When I was in college, I did not have $29 to go to the 87th floor. So, but it was nice to be able to kind of experience it with you for the first time too. Like, okay, let's go to this touristy thing. And
it was a pretty quiet, but you know, like,
because it was in the evening and it was
freezing cold.
It was a stunning view at night though. I love seeing everything lit up and you could, you know, kind of see everything.
I was showing my daughter the pictures I took from the top on my phone at bedtime, and she was just like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. I love all the lights. And she got the streets just lit up with cars were amazing. And showed her the ice skaters at Rockefeller Center.
That's
that
my
we
favorite
could see
part.
From the Empire State.
I loved watching the ice skaters. I did.
Those little tiny black dots.
They were moving. I like wanted to take a video, but it was too far away. I needed like a telescope on my phone. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I had never been to Chicago before. And we went to Chicago the next day. And driving around that city, what a difference. Okay, well, first of all, we had a taxi driver in New York City, and then we had an Uber driver in Chicago. Our Uber drivers,
both of them,
were fantastic.
Amazing.
But the one after the event that took us around the city, because we got in the car after dinner, and we were like, okay, this is where we're going. And as soon as he started driving, I was like, how far is the Bean? And he's like, oh, it's just a couple blocks. I'll drive you around there. And then once... He basically took us on a tour of the city.
He drove
us around and he was like, oh, let me take you around this other block. There's a better view. Let me take you down this Millennium Mile or Magnificent Mile.
Yeah.
And showed us all these like architecturally fantastic modern buildings and paired with like old buildings. And it kind of took the best of Washington, D.C. Like, I love the architecture and the history of Washington, D.C., but there's no skyscrapers intentionally because you want to be able to see the monuments on the skyline. So it took like the best of D.C. with architecture. And then there were just these like
the best of New York.
Best of New York.
It reminded me a lot of Toronto, actually.
Super clean.
A very similar sort of feel. But also being like on a Great Lake and... Yeah,
and the people were unbelievably nice.
Oh, like there's something in their water nice.
I was a little concerned that the ball was going to drop and suddenly people were going to like just start stabbing because they were like super, super nice. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but they were like ridiculous. I mean,
unbelievably nice.
Really some of the nicest people I've ever met and so helpful and so like just
the waiter,
genuine.
The waiter at Publican.
Best service of any restaurant I've ever been in.
Ever. The guy knew what nightshades were. He knew
what alliums were.
It was unbelievable.
He just went out of his way to accommodate our food sensitivities and make sure that we had a delicious meal. And he rode a canoe for us. he was funny and knowledgeable. And
so everybody, if you're even ever near Chicago, needs to
go eat to Publican
and have David serve you.
Yeah.
And
One of the best meals I've ever eaten.
Me too.
By far the best service in any restaurant.
I've had some fantastic meals, and I will be thinking of the tongue in the fig confit for like the rest of my life. I immediately texted Matt as I was eating it. I sent him a picture and I said, you need to figure this out because it is the best thing I've ever eaten.
Matt has the
yeah, but like, he has no idea what it tastes like.
He didn't get to eat it.
Yeah, and I'm like, you need to solve this problem for me.
I was like, you want me to recreate a meal from a 5-star restaurant by a professional chef that I've never had? Okay.
Why can't you do that, Matt?
Yeah. Is there a problem?
Yeah. And I was like, this is how I think it's made. And then what'll happen is over the course of the next few weeks or months, I'll make him make it once a week until it gets right.
I've got a big tongue in my freezer.
Yeah, we've got a lot of tongue in our freezer too, so it's gonna happen.
It was amazing, and like the texture was completely different mm-hmm. from like any tongue I've had before.
An Instapot is gonna help that tongue achieve that texture,
I believe. Right. it was on the pork rinds. We got the first batch of pork rinds.
Well, and on the menu, they're super spicy, right? So first of all, they're not even on the menu. But we just said to the guy, can we get these plain with salt? And he's, of course. Like, his response is just, of course.
Yeah.
And brings them out. It's not enough. We need a second. Then we're looking at the dessert menu. We're like, no, what we want for dessert is more pork rinds.
Yeah, which is what we did. We had for dessert.
We asked them if they could dunk them in chocolate. And he looks at us with, like, stars in his eyes. And he's like, well, that means I'm going to talk to the chef about putting that on the menu. But tonight, I cannot offer you that.
he was so good. And, I mean, the whole service was good. Like, my glass was never empty. Like, it was just, and the food was incredible. And the atmosphere was really neat. It was a beautiful restaurant.
Well, and, you know, we were with Elena from Grace and Confused, who was on our podcast a few weeks ago, months ago.
She was on the Paleo Approach cookbook
show.
She's the one who came up with the George Clooney on the Amalfi coastline. So she's earned a special place in my heart because of that.
But so she has some particular food sensitivities, and she says that she hasn't been able to eat out at a restaurant in a really long time. That she usually just brings snacks in her purse. And is even sensitive to water, so she just avoids eating at restaurants. And they were so knowledgeable and so accommodating at the restaurant last night that she ate a full meal, no problem there. And that...
We had a couple dishes dishes.
We intentionally got those knowing there were onions and she couldn't have them, but she was fine with that. But she had plenty.
10 dishes or something, there was like 2 that she couldn't have. Like it was... Yeah. They were so fantastic. Yeah.
And that was yesterday. And then today we are at Sarah's home where Sarah prepared for me a legitimately a mazeballs meal.
That
was my word on
I like walked
Instagram.
In the door and started cooking.
Well, we went to the store literally on the way home from the airport so that you could make us a meal. And I know how exhausted I am, so I can only imagine how exhausted you were. And you still made like basically a Thanksgiving spread. Like I couldn't believe when I walked into the dining room how many dishes were on the table. And I was like, holy moly.
I made a kale salad and roasted Brussels sprouts and roasted carrots and sauteed mushrooms and bison tenderloin.
Yeah, it was really good.
And there was fruit.
And then there was a fruit salad and there was also some broccoli for the girls.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it was so kind of you to ask me yesterday, like, what are your favorite vegetables? And so I walked onto the table and there were roasted carrots and roasted Brussels sprouts with bacon. And I'm like, heart.
I texted my husband. I was like, how tired of Brussels sprouts are you? And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. Because I'd actually left them I had made Brussels sprouts the day before I left and made like 3 pounds of Brussels sprouts the day before I left. And there was still some in the fridge. They had finished most of it. But I was like, do you mind eating Brussels sprouts for like 6 days in a row? And they're like, no, it's fine. Good. Roasted Brussels sprouts are the bomb. We're good. And by the way, roasted Brussels sprouts are totally the bomb.
Totally are the bomb. I would agree with that.
So, but I'm tired now. I'm ready for bed.
Yeah.
So tomorrow is Atlanta, but of course, anybody in Atlanta listening to this podcast has missed it.
We've given plenty of notices, so hopefully this is not the first time that someone is hearing this.
And I'm excited. My hometown, Buckhead. Buckhead is like, Buckhead's, I really like the area. We couldn't afford to live there, but it's where we stayed when we first moved to the city, and we stayed in corporate housing and kind of used that area as our home base while we were looking for houses in the city. And so it's kind of like my, you know, my favorite area in Atlanta, other than clearly the area I live in.
Well, before we go, because we are tired and we need to end this, and we claimed that it would be a half an hour, and it's an hour.
It's never a half an hour.
I do want to say that I'm super appreciative of the people who acknowledged and thanked Matt for the recipes that he's done for our blog, because I know that because I'm the one who usually is the face of the blog, and we kind of talked about this in the Really Paleo show, Matt doesn't get nearly the credit he deserves for being such a heavy hand on the blog. And I happen to know from being his wife and having private conversations with him that it gave him an incredible good feels to go to the events that he went to and have individuals acknowledge that, you know, it was his recipes that kind of helped their family move to be healthier. And, you know, I get usually the emails that come in that are like, oh, thank you for saving your life, are all addressed to me. And I'm the one who's kind of the face when we go to big events, and I do the talking at Paleo Effects and that sort of thing, because Matt just isn't into the social situation. And it was super nice. And I can't thank everybody enough who, you know, came up to us and specifically addressed and thanked Matt for his recipes. And particularly in New York, there was a crowd of people who thoroughly enjoyed his kali gnocchi.
I was just about to say that kali gnocchi is fantastic. If you don't own Real Life Paleo yet, it's worth it just for the kali gnocchi and restaurant steaks recipes. I got to put those both in the same category. And if you do own it and you haven't made those recipes yet, like, prioritize what you're going to do this weekend. Restaurant steaks and kali gnocchi.
And I think they would go very well together. The great thing about that dough, and I've said it before, is that it is used in several places throughout the book. So if you make the base of the kali gnocchi dough, which is like a kali puree with some different flours, if you make that, you can triple it and then, you know, set 2 cups of it aside for the kali gnocchi, and then you can save the rest for the garlic breadsticks and the chicken and dumplings and some of the other recipes that dough is used in. Garlic, can't you imagine? Like, you know how good that dough was? Wouldn't it be amazing? I'm telling you, the garlic breadsticks and the chicken and dumplings are just as good as the kali gnocchi too. So.
Well, I would say I know what I'm cooking tomorrow, but I don't actually think there's going to be time.
The chicken and dumplings is paprikash, because it's my grandmother's recipe. I know you can't do paprika,
I'll make my mom's chicken and dumplings recipe, but just add my mom's seasoning to your
base. Yeah, you can just leave the paprika
base,
out. Yeah, exactly.
Just use it to your base dough.
There aren't very many non-AIP-friendly recipes in the book that can't be adapted, and that's a great example. Yeah. It's not, like, you know, unadaptable. It's just different spices. So anyway, I wanted to thank everybody, because I know it meant a lot to Matt, and it was very special for him to be able to go. And I know he appreciated the effort.
And I enjoyed seeing you, Matt.
You know, it was funny. I was just thinking about it, that, like, I talk to you every week, but you don't talk to me.
That's true. Although I do kind of often leave you little messages in the show. Have you noticed?
That is true.
Yeah. So there's that. But maybe you need to be on the show more often.
There's not really room, as it's on the treadmill desk.
Oh, I'm sure that's a solvable problem. All right. Comment on the show notes if you want Matt to join the show more often.
And if so, what topics you would like Matt to discuss? One of the most frequently asked questions that we get in our events is how to get spouses on board. So perhaps we can have him on a show for that, because he answered that really well at one of our events.
I think my husband would be, he has expressed interest in talking about that topic on a show. So maybe we could do a show
in the future
about with both of our husbands and...
Cool. So if you're interested in that, leave us comments on social media or this
cool
post.
Idea.
And if you have other ideas for husbands, let us know. We love it when we have to do less work, so we're good.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Wait, less work?
Awesome. Well, we hope to see many of you in Atlanta, San Diego, Phoenix, Seattle, Minneapolis,
and Portland.
Portland. Well, many of you in Portland.
Half the city in Portland.
And we will let you know as soon as we have confirmed the additional city or cities that we'll be doing in January.
I'm just throwing it out, Canadians.
We're working on you, Canada.
We're working on throwing in a Canadian city in that weekend.
And let me just tell you, I had some of the most...
And it just might be T-Dot. Just saying, it just might be T-Dot.
I am super, super excited that Canada, we will be in your Costcos in the very near future. So... We will let you know as soon as the shipment arrives. But we got the wonderful news from our publisher. Matt and I's dream for Real Life Paleo was to get into Costco because we feel like that is the audience that needs that. It's the everyday person that wants to do it but is just overwhelmed. And, you know, we feel like that is the exact audience that we wrote that book for. And so when we got the news from our publisher that Costco Canada had picked up Real Life Paleo, not just a little bit, but every single English-speaking Canada store
You showed a list of...
It was a four-page spreadsheet.
Province of Quebec.
Yeah.
Cities. And, yeah. Like, there are completely French-language cities that are going to have Real Life Paleo and the Costcos.
So I'm super excited. And, you know, if you would like to support us in some capacity, if you are in Canada, purchasing Real Life Paleo, especially in the upcoming holiday season... from Costco would be a wonderful way to show support and encourage the continued stocking of that in the store so that other people can find it for their family and friends as well. So because Sarah's from Canada and because Costco Canada seems to be a fan of us.
And then my books are going to be in Costco USA on time for Black Friday. So they're actually going in either the 26th or the 28th. So like that's either Wednesday or Friday around Thanksgiving. So they'll definitely be there on time for Black Friday sales.
That's awesome.
And so perfect timing for picking up. And I imagine, I don't know what the price cost was going to be, but I imagine it's going to be pretty much.
It's usually about what Amazon has.
So like pretty darn cheap. Yeah. Go pick up a
bunch of
copies.
Practical Paleo and Meals Made Simple, which are comparable in price to our books, as $29.95 there, which is maybe even cheaper than that. And that's basically what Amazon is charging right now.
So that's going to be awesome.
And you'll be able to physically just go and pick that up and take care of it and not have to worry about
shipping
will it arrive on time or whatever the case. So we're super excited and we want to thank you, Canada. We know from our podcast stats that you happen to be high volume listeners.
On behalf of Canada, I say you're welcome.
Eh?
Yeah.
So we are hoping to make that happen and it would pair nicely with our Minneapolis trip. But it's also in January and those are two really cold climate things. So
it's fine.
We're going to figure it out.
I lived in the snowbelt in southwestern Ontario for 6 years. It's fine. As long as it's not the day a blizzard blows in, it's fine. They know what they're doing. It's not the first storm of the year, and it's not 12 inches in one day. Like, as long as we're not bad, unlucky.
Not just 12 inches, but 12 inches of ice snow.
Yeah. No, and we won't get ice snow in January.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, thank you for tuning in. I'm sorry it was... another check-in show.
Two
but
in a row. Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of a more interesting show, at least. Like,
I thought we were totally awesome last week. What are you talking about? Well, do you even remember it? You
no,
probably don't remember.
I don't.
We had probably the best check-in show we've ever done last week.
And definitely it must be a good one this week because we talked for an hour, so.
Yeah. I'd just like to hear from you.
What say you?
Everyone just likes to hear from us?
Yeah. But, you know, when do you remember when you first proposed the idea for having your own podcast, Stacey?
To Sarah?
No, just in general?
No.
Okay, so you had just done, like, a couple of podcasts. I think you'd done Jimmy Moore. You might have done Abel James. And you're like, you know, this podcasting thing is kind of fun. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe I want to do one. And I immediately said, yes, actually, you do need to do one. And I will do it for you, and you won't have to set up anything. I'll handle all of that. All you need to do is find someone to do it with, because talking to yourself is kind of boring.
I think I chose wisely.
I think you did too, but...
jury's still out.
I just think it's really interesting that, like, you weren't somebody who listened to podcasts. I was. And you're like, hey, this seems fun. And I was like, yes, we're doing this.
Yeah, you were definitely the pusher on that.
Well, what I think is really cool about this, not to make eye contact with you and embarrass you.
No, I'm not going to make eye contact, whatever you're about to say.
But I really feel like this podcast is what has allowed us to become such close friends.
Yeah.
Because,
we were just talking about it with your family tonight. Yeah. I get to talk to you every week.
And, when we started, we clearly had a connection, but I'm not sure that we would have been able to
foster it
and connect so frequently and regularly in order to become such close friends. And I think that's pretty cool because you're a really special friend.
Thanks.
Well, you just made eye contact with me right there.
It's totally awkward. but I think too, like it's helped each of us grow in our ability to handle our blogs and our paleo businesses, so to speak. And
I've learned a lot from you. And thanks, man.
We make a good team.
We do. I think we have a really complementary skill set. And I think I think we have very similar priorities and values, which is what makes us so compatible for this blogging, podcasting adventure thing.
Also, you like it when I'm the snarky, mean one.
I do. I like just being like, Stacey said it wasn't me.
Stacey, can you tell these people what I'm feeling? That I'm.
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna post that? Great. I don't have to. I'm so glad. Do you like it when I'm all nerdy?
Yep, I do. Well, and oftentimes I think for me, I'm not a stupid person, right?
Clearly.
But sometimes I don't have the background or the education on specific topics. And so sometimes I'll say something and then I'll be like, right?
And the answer's almost always. Yes. Every once in a while it's like, almost. Let me just expand on that slightly to clarify. That's okay. I think we're a good team.
Yeah.
We're a good team. So the check-in shows are, I don't know.
They're easy because it's just hanging out with your friend.
Yeah, it's true.
And hanging out
with all of those friends.
Yeah, I was going to say, and for those of you who are currently on a really long walk or cleaning your house or on your way to work, which is what we hear most often, thank you for also being our friend. And, something that I said to someone yesterday in Chicago who told us, I feel like I'm your best friends with you. And people get kind of like choked up or awkward when they say that.
They feel so embarrassing.
But you shouldn't feel embarrassed saying that, because if you feel so connected to us and you feel like we have a lot in common, the likelihood is that we would feel the same way. We can't possibly know the thousands of you that are listening. Yeah. Like we don't have the capacity to be friends with everybody, but we are friends because you bond with us. And I'm sure that we would bond with you if we had the opportunity to do so. So thank you.
I think you probably just created like a few hundred stalkers out there.
Just don't show up on my doorstep. That's all I ask.
That's the line. Stay on the other side of the line. Don't show up on doorsteps. We're good.
You can totally stalk me on Instagram though. I'm all up in the Instagram all the time. So feel free to stalk me there.
I love Instagram stalkers.
I'm down. I love Instagram. I'm actually on Instagram, so.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we have got to wrap this up and go to bed because we do have a long week ahead of us. So we will do our very best to have another podcast next week so that Matt doesn't wrangle our throats for breaking a very long streak. I think that we could probably record one on Monday. So in the future, we hope to see you at events. If you're not going to be able to make an event, make sure you, tune in next week. And if you feel like you want to support Sarah and I, feel free to bring gifts to events, or feel free to leave us a review.
It's pretty much
iTunes.
A guarantee that we'll remember your first name anyways.
Yes. Also, I would like to encourage everyone to leave reviews for our books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, Book Depository, anywhere where you possibly can.
Does IndieBound do book reviews? I don't think IndieBound does, actually, come to think of it.
But those are so super helpful in helping other people make decisions about whether or not they want to purchase our books. So the more that you can do that. I know it takes a few minutes out of your schedule, but there's even an Amazon app. It's really easy to leave a review for books. Or anything that you can do would be super, super awesome.
Or leave a review for this podcast.
Yeah.
You said that? I wasn't listening.
I know. Cool. Well, we'll be back next week. And
hopefully not too tired.
Don't forget to let us know how you want the husbands to interact.
Poor Matt. He's probably all like, oh no, I have to do this again.
This was a special occasion, I thought.
maybe
we need more special occasions.
Yeah, think of how many holidays with special meals there are in a year, Matt. We could have you on at least that often.
Honestly,
especially this time of year, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and then New Year's.
You are our
biggest
fan.
And then if you're Jewish, you've got Hanukkah.
You know what? Honestly, I think the hardest part for him is that because he produces it, he has to listen to it over and over again. And listening to your own voice can be really grating. So I'm pretty sure that that's why he doesn't like to be on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Sorry about that, Matt. I do. I really don't like listening to my own voice.
It doesn't bother me. I used to listen to the podcast all the time. And for a while, I was like, oh, I need to say like less often. But then I just didn't care.
You just rolled with it. You're just a like kind of person.
What did you say,
Matt? So you just rolled with it. You're like, I'm just a like kind of person.
I guess that's what I said.
Someone on the book said how much they liked my laugh on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's why I don't listen to the podcast, is because I don't like hearing my laugh.
Someone told me that my laugh reminded them of their aunt, and from looking at them, their aunt was probably older, and I was like, I have an old
we don't need to extrapolate. That's an untestable hypothesis. But yeah, so that's actually, it's predominantly me not liking the sound of my own laugh that makes me not like listening to the podcast. But I guess the good statement there is that I must laugh a lot on the podcast.
And me too.
Because it's fun. So thanks for having fun with us, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week, I guess.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
I gotta tell you, I came back here and I was like, oh man, now I gotta be a dad again. I gotta say, I kind of enjoy like the schedule and the stress of like making flights in a way. Like I like that, you know, there's a plan. This is a plan. We got it. We got to make sure that we get up at this time. We need to make sure that we get our bags packed for this time. We need to get out the door.